Okay, thank you. We will come to order. Let's begin with the flag salute. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. This is Monday, December 14th, 2020. This is a virtual public meeting of the Zoning Board of the Township of Clinton, County of Hunter, and State of New Jersey. Adequate notice of this meeting has been given in accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act. In that, an annual notice was published in the Hunter County Democrat, and the notice of an agenda for this meeting is posted on the township website, the bulletin board at the front of the municipal building, the front door of the public safety building, and back to the Hunter County Democrat, the express time, the current news, the Hunter Review, and the Star Ledger, no later than the Friday prior to the meeting. Denise, would you call the roll, please?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Dr. Lewis?
Yes.
Yes. Mr. Matson?
Yes.
Mr. Matson?
Yes.
Mr. McMillan?
Present.
Mr. Tucker?
Yes.
Mr. Roberts?
Yes.
Ms. Wilbaugh? Absent, Ms. Stevens? And Mr. Yoder.
I'm here.
Double call, Mr. Chairman.
Thanks. We have a few administrative items. Did you just join?
Yes, hi.
Okay. So let the record reflect that Heidi is here, please. A few administrative items, but before we do that, I want to do something a little bit out of the ordinary. I don't know if everyone realizes that John Matson's term on the board ends December 31st, so in a couple of weeks, and John is asked not to be reappointed to the board. So this will be John's last meeting after, John, how many years have you been on this board of adjustment?
Since 91.
And quite a few years in public service and other departments prior to that. So it's a significant milestone by any measure. This past week, the Township Council passed a resolution honoring John's service, and I have a copy of that here. I'd like to read it for the benefit of everyone on the phone and into the record. It runs just less than a page. Honoring John Matson for his hard work and dedication to the Township of Clinton. Whereas, as of December 31st, 2020, John Matson will have completed the 29th year on the Zoning Board of Adjustment of Clinton Township, having served with both the honor and distinction. And whereas, during his time on the Zoning Board of Adjustment, Mr. Matson has served as the chairman and vice chairman, providing to the board both solid leadership and a wealth of knowledge and history of township planning and zoning requirements. And whereas prior to beginning the service on the Zoning Board of Adjustment in 1992, Mr. Matson was appointed to the Planning Board of Clinton Township in 1976. And whereas during his tenure on the Planning Board, Mr. Matson participated in the creation and adoption of the township's first master plan and served in the roles of both chairman and vice chairman. And whereas Mr. Matson further served as a councilman of Clinton Township, during which time he not only continued to serve on the planning board, but also served as the acting mayor for a brief period. And whereas Mr. Matson has always graciously offered his insight, knowledge, and guidance to countless township officials, professionals, and employees over the years for the betterment of the township, now, therefore, be it resolved by the governing body of the Township of Clinton, County of Hunter, State of New Jersey, that John Matson is officially recognized and honored for his dedication and his passion and service to the township for the past 45 years while working to make the community a better place to live for our families, friends, future residents, and be further resolved that we wish John success in the best of health in his future endeavors. This resolution is hereby presented to John Matson at the scheduled council meeting on December 9th, 2020, and to become part of the official minutes in the meeting. John, congratulations.
Bravo.
Thank you, John.
Okay. Thank you.
Sounds like the same thing.
I've sort of enjoyed things on the board. Yeah. I guess I'm the one that has an institutional memory, so that's always a good time to play. Aside from that, I've seen a lot of interesting things go on, and things like planning and planning and so forth. And I hope that I can't share some of those videos.
Well, 45 years, John, it's an unbelievable run, and we are all better for having you help you work with us in the township. So, thank you very much for your service. I think it's our intent that when the COVID restrictions lift and the weather gets a little bit better, we'll have time, we'll set aside time for a more formal face-to-face recognition from the local ward. So, okay, keep everyone posted. But otherwise, this is your last meeting, John, so let's make it a good one, okay?
All right,
so let's move on. Going to see miscellaneous items. New business vouchers. I think there was only one in the pile. This time around, does anyone have any comments or questions about vouchers? Seeing none, okay. Moving on to the meeting minutes of October 26, 2020, which were distributed. Eligible members, I think was it everyone? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, no, it was not everyone. Lewis, Watson, the Conference, Sackler, Roberts, Stevens, and Lewis. Does anyone have any corrections to the minutes?
May I make a comment? Probably no, not voting.
Sure.
I believe it says that the DeFazio, proposed DeFazio house is two stories, whereas the proposed Mizziak house that never happened was supposed to be one story. And in fact, I think it's the opposite, and I think that set forth in John's proposed preservation, where he says the Mizziak house is to be two stories, and the proposed DeFazio house, well, he doesn't say one story, he says one and a half stories, because the main living area is on the first floor, and I guess there's some attic storage space above.
And the new proposed DeFazio is one and a half.
Is this a teaching like thing to me today?
Yes. Yep, I see it. I'm going to make that change.
Okay.
I'm excited.
Okay, so motion to approve the minutes as corrected.
So moved.
Okay.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Dr. Lewis?
Yes.
Mr. Nelson?
Yes.
Mr. McCarthy?
Yes.
Mr. Sutter?
Yes.
Mr. Roberts?
Yes.
Thank you. And Stephen? Stephen?
Yes, you are.
John.
Yes. Thank you.
Yes.
And Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Thank you. Motion carries.
Okay, great. Thanks. Next resolution for the 5-year resolution 2020-07 version 3. I know this came out late and there wasn't a whole lot of time for people to read this. I read it over and didn't have any corrections, and John Phil mentioned how a couple other people commented. So, are people comfortable voting on this one? Anyone having any problems or corrections on this?
Yeah. Then on page 7, third line, third line from the top, the VMLUL is in brackets. I don't know if he intended to have it spelled out, but I don't know. I don't recall if it's defined earlier in the resolution or not.
Usually is defined in the proof of the variance. It was probably done earlier, I think.
Maybe the first you could just remove the brackets, no?
I just want to make sure that's not a part of the quote, but I just can't see fully. But
and I'll
do all the wrong use for them. Yeah, no, but he had those paragraphs set, like those are our standards. So I'm assuming that the brackets are not placed in there just for this purpose. So that's why, just for this reason, so I'm assuming that there's a reason why he put the brackets in there.
Okay. I think that we'll
put
that in there, because that's not going to change the ordinance in any significant way.
Right.
On
page 9, D2. Where it says the dwelling on cap I improvements. Is improvements a defined term? I didn't see where it was defined. And I wonder what improvement means in that connection.
I'll double check. My guess is no, but I'll double check.
Because I assume in this arena, improvement is a term of art. I'm not familiar enough with it to know.
Yeah, I'll
double check. And then my last suggestion is page 10, D5.
Okay.
Third line from the bottom. I think the word should be inserted after certificate of occupancy. The word obtained should be inserted there.
Yeah, so I'm just checking on the, I'm taking out the year for the 5, not obtained I'm checking on the capital I, the capital of the word that says defined.
Yeah, okay. Right, thank you. Okay, anyone else have any other questions? If not, could I motion to adopt the resolution, please?
All move, as amended.
And then can you should be called the roll, please?
Dr. Lewis?
Yes.
Mr. Matson?
Yes.
Mr. McAlpin?
Yes.
Mr. Ober?
Yes.
Mr. Roberts?
Yes.
Ms. Stevens?
I just had a chance to read it, so I just had a good thing.
Okay. Thank you. And Mr. Yoder?
Yes.
Thank you. And you're welcome to have Mr. Chairman.
Okay, great. Thanks. And what else from the administrator lineup is the resolution adopting emergency remote meeting protocols, et cetera, et cetera, which was distributed, I guess, prior to the November meeting, which we did not have. And those changes have been submitted, which was sent out a month ago. It's up on the screen now. And if anyone has a question, we would punt on this probably, otherwise, motion to adopt, please.
Thomas Conmager, the only question I would have is this been adopted by all of the boards within the township? The form resolution?
The planning board did. I know because they were getting the draft at the same time we were. I think it was slightly modified for the township council. Can you tell us that it looked exactly word for word the same?
So the board that does, but I don't know about for council. I did not see that one.
It probably looks a little different for council, I would guess. Because just because the particulars are slightly different.
That's what I think as well, and also that would have been drafted by the municipal council.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Can I ask
motion to adopt?
May I ask some questions, please? From a quick look at the regs, it doesn't appear to me that that this situation covers absolutely mandatory remote meetings, because the regs, I think, say may have a remote meeting, or in fact, one of the fourth year I called, I think, talks about in-person remote or combo meetings. And so my question is, who decides what kind of meeting is going to take place? Is it the chairman? Is it the town council? Who makes that decision, and is that written down somewhere?
I don't get across that bridge when we have the opportunity for face-to-face, and probably the, I don't know that it's regulated, it's not always on the township attorney, but probably consultation with the mayor and chairman of the planning board, we would come out with a recommendation and see how board members felt, and if board members are all of the mind that they're comfortable with getting together, we would probably go that way. I'm not aware of any regulation at this point.
I'm not aware of any right this second, but my guess is that I would agree with Tom, and that it would probably be a kind of a consultation as to when it would be appropriate, but I'm not, I don't have the right in front of me at this very second, so I couldn't say 100%, but that would be my guess is that it would be a, when it's appropriate, and assuming that there's no, it's possible, but in terms of the numbers, to make it also feasible from a state, permission-wise, that the members would allow for that to actually happen also in a feasible way.
Are the meetings virtual now because they're required to be virtual by executive order or something?
I don't think so because I think that there are, I think it's just a feasibility issue. I know that John has attended in-person meetings as of a couple of weeks ago in one town. None of the towns that I've covered have been in-person, and my boards are not in-person. So I don't know of a particular regulation, and they're not having it right in front of me, that mandates that. But again, things change very, very quickly. But my guess is that it's more of a feasibility and a safety and a comfort level of all the people involved.
But my only point is, I wonder if that could be written down somewhere for the township purposes as to who makes the decision as to when.
It would also depend on whether or not, once the state was in full lockdown, then there was no choice. That was probably, there was no choice. And then it hasn't morphed out of that in most towns just because of the situation, but up here and there it has, it has a little bit. But again, then the numbers look at, and they limited the numbers again, so I'm not sure about how many towns are still conducting in-person meetings. Probably fewer than even as of a couple of weeks ago.
I will ask Michael to make another comment. We're taking this resolution because we are required to. We are not required to establish procedures that tell us who or when is going to determine if face-to-face or virtual. So my take is that let's not spend time trying to solve problems that don't exist. If we get to a point where there's a problem determining whether or not it should be face-to-face versus virtual, and it can't be resolved by group discussion amongst the members, then maybe we go to a more rigorous approach. But in the meantime, I'm not aware that there's a problem. Nobody's asking to come into face-to-face meetings, but I'm aware.
And just Christopher, that the resolution does mirror what the regulations provide in essence, except for the one part where we did differ was related to written comments, and we as an office felt that comments on development applications can still be sworn comments by members of the public. Other than that, our resolution essentially mirrors what the regulations say. So, in terms of what I'm saying, that we didn't veer off beyond what the regulations say, except for as to that one issue.
Yeah, I was just curious as to how those decisions are made. Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, so motion to adopt this resolution, please. Can I have a number?
Hello, David Thomas.
Second, Lewis.
Okay, and Denise, would you call the roll, please?
Mr. Shannon, call the roll?
Yes.
Mr. Ashton? Mr. Ashman?
Yes.
Thank you. Mr. Helton?
Yes.
Mr. Tucker?
Yes.
Mr. Roberts?
Yes.
Ms. Stevens?
Yes.
And Mr. Yoden?
Yes.
Okay, great. Thanks. All right. Well, now on to the main event. First, if you are up, I'm going to unmute your line. If you could turn your camera back on, please. I'm trying to unmute him. There we go.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you. We can't see you, though.
I can see you.
Yes, we can't see you. Can you turn your camera back on? You're required to be visible if you're testifying.
I know.
Okay, I'm trying to do this.
Okay.
I thought I was on already. Okay.
It was
on, huh? Yeah, it was. It says here, Cisco WebEx service is not responding.
Okay.
All right. It's trying to come back.
Okay, and this is Robin, neighbor, that's correct.
So this is the reason why I'm going with the sign of God. I'm not going to ask him to any better. I'm just asking to be more functional.
If I could add that the newborn layout, even though the footprint is bigger, the actual square footage of the barn is as close as the new barn is actually smaller. And Mr. Kirksey is still under the allowable building cover for the lot. So it's really the only solution to correct the excessive height of the old barn. And everything else with the new barn still complies.
I'm not sure that's correct. Everything in the new barn complies in order to be before the Board of Adjustment seeking relief. Is that correct, Mr. Kirksey? You're looking for relief from the ordinances, the zoning laws?
I'm looking for relief for the location of where it is and how you want to bring it up. I'm here to explain. I know that everything is for the benefit of the town, and I'm okay with that because I love my town. But I also have to look at how I'm going to live. And if that might stay here, which is in the beautifully in line with the other three, and they look beautiful together, and I hope all of you have gotten this photo. Of all the barns, all lined up in a row. And if they had that barn pushed up 8 feet, it would look like an eyesore, like a missing tooth on somebody's teeth. And I know that it's all about the town, but I do have a 2,000 home. And if one family deserves to have some of the electric cars, and if it's pushed up, there's no way. I don't know, it would look so cluttered and ugly. I have my parking lot just to look like the view. It would look terrible. I'm thinking just to have the barn set where it is, been there for 100 years. Nobody can catch it. I'm praying that somebody can really keep it there. That's what I'm seeking to use of. I wish it was in your property, which I maintain. I keep it there high. I make it very nice all the time. And there's built and there's houses here. And it's in line with all the other cars, all of them. It's in line and it looks beautiful. So I just need to be on the look of it and be on my lifestyle. And I don't know if you've all seen this photo, but this is a photo I took. After it. And the
if you're trying to show us something, Mr. Kirksey, we're not seeing it because your camera's not on.
No. Do you see that photo of the back of the barn where it has all glass and my low bridge? I use that low bridge to get my lawnmower over the bridge to cut your grass. You know, your problem looks like I'm maintaining it. But you can see there's nothing back there. It's all liberal, and that house is very far away. And everybody has spoken to me in my neighborhood, which I know a lot of people, nobody contested, nobody has a problem with it.
Hold on, Mr. Is this something that was previously submitted or not?
Yes.
This was submitted, it is in the box, you know. I wanted to. Actually, Tom Adams and I had a brief conversation about that last week and we thought we would get their opinion. So it's not the original package, it was supplied to me about a week ago before he prepared his report.
Okay, so let's move on to the market, and it's in the box, it's available for the board to view, and this is...
Open neighbor, can you hold that up again for us? Okay, Did you take that? You took that photo?
I did. I took that photo.
You took the photo?
Yes.
In the past month, let's say?
I think it was in the summer, late summer.
August, let's say?
I would say.
Okay. So August of 2020, the photo, the three barns, right?
It was okay. There's no leaves on the tree. I'm thinking it's probably in the big fall. Oh, baby was out here. I'm sure it's good. Baby was out here. This is what I want to show.
Hold on. I just want to mark you. I just want to mark you to one second at a time. So, I just want a good estimate at the time. Give me a time because of this fall.
No, I think it was spring, maybe spring. I know I see no leaves, so it could have been spring of last year.
We were working on it in May already this year, so it had to be just spring.
So I'm going to mark, and it's just one photo, right?
No, there's many.
How many photos?
There's about five.
Five photos. Okay. So it's a change of my photos.
A number of photos are in, including the one who told him that they're in this area of the
house. I know, I'm just looking at it. I will look at it separately. I just want to have it in my notes. So I'm going to just mark it. A series of my photos is taken straight from by Mr. Percy. That's going to be the first mark as a one as a series. Okay? Okay, please continue, Mr. Percy.
Okay, so that's the reason why I want to keep the barn where it is. Again, for the beauty of the town and for the ease of living. Now, I want to get into
the food issues. Bring up the photo and ask others to look as well. I believe there's seven photos in the pack. And if you could point out which one of these you think makes the case and clearly shows there's some benefit. Okay, this one with the bridge, I put the speaker for myself, not for any further. Can you see my fingers are showing?
Yes.
For me personally, I'll let other board members comment as they see fit. I don't see anything in this picture that shows there's an advantage. Not that we have all the pictures here, I could go to another one. I see a picture of a barn and a house, but I don't see anything in here that, to me, is evidence that moving the barn up 7 feet is a great thing. Is there some picture in particular that helps make you a case?
I can show this one. I think this one. I look at the top of this one.
I can scroll through it. I have them all in here.
This is the one that's a composite view, an overhead view of the barn. It's an overhead.
Not that one.
Oh, no.
So this is what it looks like from straight overhead, like not to a person driving by.
Right, this is straight overhead. And if you had pushed that barn up 7 or 8 feet, I don't know how you would get 4 cars in there and where somebody wouldn't have to move their car to get somebody out. That's my point.
Could you make the case again? What's the community benefit here? Not to you and your house, but what's the community benefit for putting this against the back property line?
The benefit would be the look. I wouldn't have clutter in my property, my driveway. I wouldn't. If all the barns would look nice and well, if you do that. I think it would just take away the look. It would look horrible. That's how I think.
Do you have any pictures that would demonstrate this? Now, this is what it looks like from an airplane. How about what it would look like for someone on the ground, which is, of course, the more common scenario, not people flying overhead.
I don't have it from the front of the barn, that's what you're asking.
Okay. I'll invite other board members to comment at this point, but just for myself now, I would need to see more evidence that there is some, if the case is that it works better, I need to see some evidence that that's true. Overhead photo doesn't make the case, and then speaking for myself or invite others to comment that they can say.
If you see,
one thing, Mr. Hershey, do you feel there's a benefit of the fact that it's in line with your neighbor's barn currently? Like looking at the four structures that I see at the back of the property there, all of them have the same sort of violation of their property line, presumably that you do.
Correct.
So if you knew you were at the Delta, do you think Delta is close at that point?
I think about the whole look of the whole area would look awful. I don't know why nobody else would see that. I just think it looks so nice the way it is now.
It looks in this picture as though maybe the backs are lined up, but the fronts are not lined up. Would it look better if they're all lined up in the front where you're going to see them?
All I'm saying is that the way they look, I have that one picture I showed you before, this one here. And that is all of the I'm holding up the picture. And it's all four corners lined up in a row.
We can't see your picture, your camera's not on. But if you tell me the picture, I'll scroll to it.
It's the one that says all barns white, perfectly. You can have that. That was a little so I Denise, I don't know if she gave it to everybody.
I'm thinking maybe he means page 17 in his
submission. Yeah, everything that was submitted is going to the top. It should be next to, there was also something written up with a handicap sticker on it. It should be next to that.
It was the very last page of the, most recent submission.
This is the last page I have, page 30.
Yeah.
It's not that long.
It's more separate. I think it's a separate file.
Okay. Do you know what the name of it is, please?
I have it as a JPEG attachment that's called Four Barns in a Row, hashtag one.
I don't have that in the box folder application.
Yeah, I don't know why I'm not seeing that. I can't look at it. If I look at the box, I'm going to lose my connection to that. My damage is
Are you able to share the file so that we can then display it on the screen and we can call it an
exhibit? Yeah. I can't see if I'm holding it.
No,
that's the photo.
plan on.
Yeah, if you're I think on my view, I can see half of it. If you go up higher, if you're saying something, I see half of it. A little bit higher.
Okay, so who took this photo?
I did.
Mr. Percy. Okay, so this is going to be exhibit A2, and it's a photo comparing four what?
Four barns in a row.
Four barns in a row.
Yeah.
Is that what it looks like from the back side? Is that what it looks like from the street side?
No, it looks like from the back side.
From the rear of the property line, correct?
That's the rear of the property line.
These pictures of what it looks like from the side where people would see it?
I'm looking down Kitchener Road, Mr. Kitchener Road, yes, you would see that.
And the question is, do you have a photo? And you're showing us the backside that no one will see. What would be more meaningful if your point is that this is going to look better, you have a photo of what it's going to look like from the street side, where people will see it.
I can do it. I can do it now. But I can't do it. Okay. You know, one thing I have to say, I don't need any, but I know that it's your question. Okay, unfortunately, I have no choice. I can't prove it wrong. But it's reconstructing on existing whole property. Doesn't anybody see that sometimes those codes just make things very uncomfortable for living in an existing house. Are you reusing existing aspects of the old building in any way? Is it using the old foundation or anything like that? Or is it entirely new construction? I wish I could. I can't. Because I think the sound requires 51% to be saved. Is that correct?
Yes, Katie and Mr. Drill drafted a memo for us dated October 6th, which is in the box account. And the punchline to that memo is, Katie, you can correct me if I get this wrong, but once the existing barn is torn down, it carries zero weight in evaluating a new application for a barn. Once the existing barn is torn down, the starting point for our application evaluation is an open field. And I'll read the next to last paragraph from that manual. It is our opinion that the applicant must present, and the board must consider, reasons to satisfy the positive criteria of the C variance to allow for the 3-foot rear yard setback for the proposed barn, as if the barn never existed. So the fact that there's a barn there today carries no weight when we look at whether or not we are going to see there. Do you want that correct?
That's the positive criteria.
Well, so the reason I was asking is not because of giving it weight due to the existence of a barn so much as, if you're looking down the barn door to the foundation of anything or something like that, there is still a particularity of the land, so considering things like hardship, if there's existing stuff on the property, that is something that is not caused by his own behavior or anything like that, that real land is in that form. So, ignoring the fact that it was a barn, there's a gigantic concrete slab that has impact to me at least in considering the hardship. So that's why I was up there. Are you reusing the concrete slab or anything like that, or is it entirely? When you were finished with the existing barn before the construction of the new barn, will there be no trace of the existing barn whatsoever?
I can say because the slab, the slab, doesn't have cracks in it, but the barn is only on 3/4 of the barn. the wall. The wall is on a slope. I can see that. I can see a slab. I can see the slab is like a wall. I guess so, yeah.
I'm just trying to, I'm trying to look at it a little bit also in terms of construction versus decentralized, but in terms of total deconstruction. So if the slide wasn't going to step up 14% of the bar, and that would be the only portion that you could possibly take, and the bar is essentially going to be kind of totally destroyed. And I said it only not because I'm showing that I want you to think of the terms of art and kind of figuring out whether you're able to, you know, where we stand a little bit. That's why I'm trying to make sure that we're clear on that.
I just said that there's a slab. There's nothing wrong with the slab.
Okay, but that's my understanding. So my understanding is not the slab, though. What you're only going to set a certain wall, a certain portion of that building, though. Not that you're not holding anything else, correct?
I can look at it again, but no, I don't see it. I don't see it. And I'm going to be honest with you, I don't think I even want it. I have a question. What if I use the wood to build the new barn? Because I can see through every plant in that barn that I can see the sunlight. But the wood, a lot of that wood is good, and I can use it to build a new one.
You rip it off, and one of the things that makes it a different place is new siding.
Yeah,
I'm saving the frame.
The frame is the frame is pretty strong. It's 12 inch by 12 inch. Whatever you want to call it,
Well, when you say that you need to do a total deconstruction, are you really saying that you need to resize the entire thing, that you could keep the existing structure, like the framing and the impact?
I don't think I can use the cross mounts because they're sagging, but I can use the post, if you call it the post. I'm from the city, so you know, I don't know the terminology to use here. The post like how my draw, I wear it hard. But I see sagging in it. I don't know. But the siding, the wood siding, is there something wrong with the wood siding?
It's just when you're talking about taking it down and then using it, are you talking about taking off walls or are you talking about taking them down and using wood? I mean, I'm not trying to think that, like,
part
of
the thing, but it makes a difference when you have the definition of
what
total of partial
and total.
I do not. I feel it's more than 50%. I mean, because it's the same as flag, I mean, that's more of a question. If I can offer, maybe you can appreciate the board's question. I think what they're trying to arrive at is that if you were to keep essentially most or all of the box that you have today, you'd be in a different ballgame and you'd have sort of different criteria to address as opposed to knocking the whole thing down and then having to explain to the board and provide a compelling reason as to why what you're proposing can't be located in a conforming location. So again, if you kept the box, so added on to it or reconfigured it internally to suit your purposes, that's one thing. Versus the alternative of knocking it down, taking something new essentially, and then asking the board to deviate from the kind of disorders. And again, it needs a compelling reason to essentially, you know, protect, you know, the neighbors, the community, and prospective applicants that might come in under similar circumstances.
I think it's the frame itself.
And then we are
there's no parking for him.
No, but I think what he's really saying is he's willing to do what we're saying, what we're suggesting here, if he can't get the variance, and if he could get the variance, he'd prefer that outcome instead. And then separately, I guess we have a separate question of, Denise, you're the zoning officer now, right? So you would need, I guess, based on the kind of the presentation here, you probably want to rule some up as to whether or not what he's talking about as sort of like second alternative would be considered 50% demolition or not.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is you know, a unique situation for me. I would probably ask for two files on that. I think there are maybe some plans of showing somebody outside of the door and some plans before somebody would make a decision whether this is anything else has happened. So the board can either consider the continuing of this matter and see where the board feels on the matter. Or you can take a month off, Mr. Percy, and see if you can come up with plans that work based on what you have. And see if you do not need to be before this board, so that might be an option for you if you can make it work. But I think that would involve how life is not coming before the board, but life is putting some more work into the time and what they're doing so that somebody who is reviewing the plan can make that determination that this is in the correct category of the, you know, above the 50%.
So how do I know how many points 30%? How many percentage is the beat? How do I know that?
I'm sorry, say it again.
Okay. If I try to keep 50%,
okay.
I calculate what the slab is worth, what percentage is the slab worth, what percentage of the beam is worth, what percentage of the cross number is worth. How do I know that?
I think we're just more interested in the fact to resolve to move on and perhaps to solve on this issue. The one scenario is if you rebuild the barn and the same exact footprint and you do whatever goes on side happens, you know, goes on side. That's one scenario. If you're still proposing the L shape, but if you keep the same rectangle that you have today, I'm sure the township staff and the professionals have needed to come up with a way to resolve the 50% issue outside of this board.
With some further information and input on your part, I'm sure you can work with this. To me, you know, tonight is the board secretary and asking the zoning officer, but when he has some information and talk about any ability to do conversation, could work with you on that, but not, you know, in this role,
although I think perhaps not, but I was just thinking if it's literally just siding and joists, that's not even the zone permit. I mean, it's just a mistake, not a mistake.
But Mr.
Van Gogh,
you have, you know, doing something else with the barn, and or putting in uses that are not permitted in the barn, then the board may become part of the back to the board in terms of the board's review. So there are some other ancillary issues that maybe need some further input, and maybe it depends, you know, kind of what you're intending to do if you want in terms of the bathroom or any further other issues in that barn. So also maybe you should let me flesh out a little bit.
Denise asked a zoning inspector today, if you were to go in to the building department and want a permit to build a bathroom in your garage or whatever, that's not something you tend to be running on. That's all right. That doesn't help to do a change of use as far as the zoning office, I mean, as far as the building office. Now, let me propose another way to look at that thing. The building is too close to the real property line. It also has another non-conforming aspect, that is, it's too high. Suppose we take the
that the college reviewed it as in reducing one of the nonconformities. If he's given it, he will reduce the height of the building, or set up the building with slight high, and no more non-conforming in the rear. Is that a good trade-off?
Got me talking about ripping down the existing barn. Are you talking about ripping down the new barn and putting up a new one?
Ripping down the existing one, putting up a new one, a new barn that doesn't encroach any further on the rear yard and is lowering in height. So he's improving the situation from the standpoint of zoning compliance.
But from our attorney's perspective, once the existing barn is torn down, any characteristics of it carry no weight in justifying the positive criteria of the new one. And that's exactly the point of John Drill and Fabian's memo of October 5th. You can't say, well, the old one was only 3 feet away, and therefore this one should be 3 feet away. Once the old barn is gone, carries no weight as far as from the home to your
car. We're told that the memo deals with what he's entitled to as a matter of right. We're not talking about a matter of right. We're talking about looking at the total picture and we're saying, well, he's reducing the nonconformity. Maybe that's maybe it's good to encourage him to do that.
But that as of the criteria, that non-conformity would not be present in the conformity. That non-conformity wouldn't be there because, you know, from a positive criteria standpoint, that non-conformity wouldn't be there if the bar was taken down.
I have to say, I wish I was here to talk to him about that, but I'm struggling with that a little bit because we've made considerations as to people saying this property has this blah, blah, blah garbage on it and it's not conforming, and if you give me these variants, I will make it a better use of the property. And we took that into consideration. And
the things are still there.
I'm saying we have people come in and say, you know, there's XYZ on the property, it's non-conforming, it looks bad, I'm going to remove all of that, wipe it away, and put up this other thing instead, and it'll look better. And we took that into consideration.
Maybe that's true, but I'm done. I wrote this down. I'm done. I discussed this now. I mean, we went through it. I don't know. So, whatever. We've been through the memo together. We've been through the memo with the care. So, this is definitely, I'm usually correct. Maybe that's an issue where there's an existing condition that's a core condition of the property, and they're going to make that condition just go away, but not because. Thank you.
So, Mr. Kirsten, if you want, we can have some discussion and express the board's viewpoint on whether or not a three-foot setback would be acceptable or not. That's different than if you want to go off and explore trying to save the existing barn, which I think we've heard some testimony that may not be feasible. So, would you like us to debate that question now?
I try to save it, but I've had people come to try to save it.
No, that's not the question, sir. The question is whether or not you want us to weigh in on that piece of your application. We can go around and sort of debate the pros and cons, and the board can sort of voice an opinion. Do we think that you've made the case for a 3-foot setback? That's one question that you come to us today. Do we want to address that question or not? I guess you need to decide whether you want our opinion on that.
I like your opinion on it.
Okay. So, I will give my opinion just for me, and then we can go around and let other people kind of weigh in informally. My opinion, I've not seen sufficient evidence that shows there's a compelling community benefit here by not just moving the barn up. There may be some benefit visually. I haven't seen any pictures that show that there is a case. I know there's an overhead picture, but of course that's not really meaningful from the perspective of the community. You know, no one's going by in an airplane. So maybe the negative criteria has been met. Maybe it's not so bad because no one's complaining it's there. But does it look better? Is there a community benefit? I haven't seen the case. Any evidence that makes that case. So I'm not in favor of it. That's my opinion. I'll let others weigh in.
I kind of alluded to this a little bit how I was thinking about it, but from my perspective, if you would have walked in and said, I have the property and have the two-family house, and there's no barn or anything like that, but there's a gigantic concrete slab in the back that's 3 feet off the property line, and it's a hardship for me to have to, I'm going to abandon something bigger than I'm going to use part of that slab. It's a huge hardship for me to remove the entirety of the slab and supply everything for 3 feet, 4 feet footers for the building, et cetera. And the property has a slab already sitting on it. I would personally think that's a much of a hardship to at least meet the criteria for C1 variance, and I'd move on to looking at negative criteria. And in this case, I'm not seeing negative criteria. So that doesn't bother me. I would be fine with that from a monitor perspective. Now, on the other hand, if you're saying, we're going to demolish the slab and 4 years later to the new building, regardless, then I don't see the hardship anymore. Regardless of what used to be sitting on top of that slab, it's still something sitting on the property now, and it's still part of the property. He demolishes the shed, the barn. We're not considering the barn anymore, but we're still seeing the guy keep it out there sitting on the back of the property, and that's part of the aspect of the property.
Are you saying if you were to remove the slab, you'd be in favor, and if not, you would not be in favor?
Yeah, from a pressure perspective. More slab, if you adding on that L shape, you're going to use the existing slabs and the footers underneath it and stuff like that. If that's the way that's being leveraged, then I see that as a hardship. If his intent is to rip it up regardless, then it's not hardship to me.
Okay.
First of all, have you been to this site?
No, I have not.
You have not been. Okay. the drawings that you put together, or what I call schematic, various schematics we have. Who prepared those? Because all the stuff is manholes and clean out and dimensions on the buildings themselves. Did you do that? Did you also prepare those?
We prepared them from LIDAR, the satellite imaging, and from the reference survey in 1974.
I'm referring to the current items on the property. It shows the house, it shows the septic wood facade, bedroom, the barn, the septic porch, various things like that. Who prepared those?
I did.
If there is a Kurdish. Who did?
I did.
Kurdish proposed those. Okay. One of the questions going back to that then, the sketches you prepared, the one that I'm referring to has the current items on the property and it shows a septic pipe into the barn. Do you have a septic, do you have a toilet, a bathroom, or anything within the structure right now?
No, we're not ever.
Well, what's that septic pipe for?
Okay, when I bought the house 15 years ago, I was trying to save enough money to do this, and I asked a septic company to pipe them for hopefully a few years. 15 years ago.
Okay, so that septic pipe has no connection, it's just for, as you said, it was going to be a future use whenever you had this other septic system completed, rebuilt it all. Is that correct?
Yeah, well, I bought it. The system failed, and the seller had no choice but to put a new set in. And I paid for an upgrade to have that pipeline for CCS.
Okay. So the plan would be to connect with, if this proposal that you're speaking about goes through, the plan is to connect to that septic pipe that has already been sized. The septic system has already been tried to take the additional toilet, correct?
Right. Now, if you have a
No, I'm not asking that question. I'm just asking about all of these pipes and all these manholes. Because what I'm going after is, if you're going to construct this L-shaped barn, garage, you're going to be hitting some of these existing systems you have in place. So look, if the barn is moved 187 foot forward, or moved to the side one way or the other, so it's something you need to take into consideration as well as to whether or not just to leave the footprint where it is and hold the tree foot in the back. I think you're better off doing that instead of taking everything out altogether.
Let
me ask you something else. The slab that you have, does that cover the whole existing barn floor right now?
No, it's only under 75% of the barn. Apparently, somewhere down years ago, somebody added to it.
Okay, so only 75% of that floor is covered at the present time. On the outside edge, what type of foundation do you have with Anderson? Is it stone, or is it block, or is it not at all?
No, it's stone and it's a wood piling. Yeah, it's stone and wood piling. It's shown on one of the photos. If you can see this photo here, I don't know how to do this.
Well, is that the southerly end of the barn? Existing barn?
The left side of the barn, looking at it.
It's going to be the southerly end. Roughly the southerly end of the barn?
Yeah.
Okay, and that's elevated. The rest of the barn is 75%.
Well,
you don't have the columns. You do have a footer of some type, or are you saying there's stone? But I'm not following that part.
It's stone. I don't know how deep the stone goes, but it's all stone holding.
Stone holding foundation.
It's level.
It's got a stone foundation, yes.
But it's not cemented in place. It's just loose stone is what we're saying. Is that right?
I don't think so. I think it's cemented in place.
Okay, and the columns, if you're calling these, I think you're referring to these as columns. The columns that are sitting on this stone right now, this rubble, whatever you want to call it, they're cast in place, or they're stationary in place right now, and that's what forms your back wall.
No, the stone is really what's keeping it permanent. The feet, these extra things, come one on top of the other, all about the support, the protection of that addition.
I'm not following that. The beams that you're referring to, are they horizontal or are they vertical?
No, they're horizontal.
They're horizontal. So all the beams are laid in place, and that's basically forming your back wall.
Yes, but there's also stone too. Cement and stone.
Maybe I'm just guessing. Is this like a water table type of thing? There's a rubble stone foundation with then with posts bearing on it and a horizontal beam, like as the, I guess, as an old a sill?
Yeah, you could say that.
I think, Dave, what you and I are looking at is this back wall stable enough that can continue to be used. And your engineer is saying he doesn't think so.
Well, I have took an architect on it. He suggested that to say this. I'd like to say the same thing because he said that it wasn't built well. There's actually cable holding it up on each side.
Tom, I guess you and I both definitely like one in terms of just the slabs. I'm beginning to see the rubble stone foundation come down and so it's just the existing slab and the existing footing that's hopefully under the slab.
So but that's only 75% of the barn that he has now.
Right, and then once that, and then to add on the L shape on top of the existing 100% footprint.
Right.
No, you're right. I mean, you're kind of taking away my argument too. And at some point, not to say that this is this situation, but at some point, you're walking in and saying, I have a 2-square-foot concrete slab, I want to build a 1,000-square-foot building. And that's not obvious, and that's just the absurd argument version, not what you're saying. But at some point, there's a line between where it's no longer a hardship because it's just perceived as like the minimus compared to the total size of the building that you want to put.
I don't hear that. I think if this is going to be taken down, I think we're going to honestly look at the 10-foot setback.
Okay. I'm kind of there as well now.
Okay. Okay. Who else wants to go next and comment? So I'm asking you before.
Okay.
I remember the person who was in the fly around. We went out, we did a field visit at Kimberly's, and that was certainly more than a 50% tear down of the old building. Put up a much bigger paradigm.
Right, and we did a site visit at the Kimberly building to go out and see firsthand what was there and make a determination as to whether or not the foundation that was remaining was sufficient to justify building a new building on the existing foundation. Is that correct, John?
Well, it depends on what you mean by sufficient. Most of that building was just on a concrete slab. It was picked up and held off. There were some footings in the back that were there. But basically, you had plenty of room to build buildings further on the property. We just decided to take recognition of going away and we didn't get it and as a matter of right. It was a barrier for them to do it. But I think what the memo that is quoting from has to do with whether the person had the matter of right, the right to rebuild a new building in the same footprint as the old building, or to successfully rebuild the old building. And I think it's a different matter if you go through all the considerations before the building is torn down and don't get it torn as a matter of right, just because you think it works well, okay. Maybe I'm wrong, Katie, but that's how I understood the memo that you did. But the applicant is claimed as a matter of right as opposed to something that the board takes consideration of when making the total word, the total determination.
So, what I don't remember to do here is that there are things that the board can consider with regard to the fact that the building was there. But our opinion is that those relate to the negative criteria, because it talks about the fact that you could use the argument because there was a building there for a number of years and did not cause an impact, you could likely make the argument that this one would not cause a negative impact. But that still left open the requirement for the applicant to prove, separate and apart from what anything else, the positive criteria. Is that right? So there could take into account in some respect the fact that the building was there, but that related to the negative criteria, not the positive criteria.
Well, and what I was saying was the positive criteria in this case could be the fact that you're reducing
the non-conforming height that's a very significant.
And certainly some part of the process to making the height more conforming than it was.
And I would maybe argue that if the building was not there, so there would be no height, but you don't have to get into it. I would say there's no building, so
John, just to go with what you're saying, even if we ignore what you're saying for a second, which I don't think we can, but even if we do, the positive versus negative, the C2 variants, and at that point, what NLUL purpose does it serve to reduce the height of the building by a few feet and then move it forward and set up something maybe that 3 feet?
Well, that's part of the loading
But for which purpose of the NLUL is it further to then be able to enable the C2 variants?
The issue is that you'd be reducing it from 24 to 16 feet, and the 15 feet is controlled.
I think this is a false dichotomy. The question is not keep the existing barn or, well, once the barn is torn down, then the question is, there's a complying barn or one that encroaches on the rear yard setback. I don't think the choice is, are we swapping a 16-foot barn in one location for a taller barn in another one? The barn is ripped down, that's the starting point. So am I wrong about that?
No, the starting point is a big difference. To reduce the height non-conformity from the current to this, to allow them to put a new board in there.
So, you're not comparing a perfectly good building to a new perfectly good building. You're comparing something that uses the building really and why you can't use it as a building.
Let me just go back to John Madsen again and let him try to move this along. John, if you were to vote on a C, well, they have proposed a C1 variant for hardship. John, would you vote in favor of a C1 or a C2 or neither? Just to sort of inform at this point, I'm not voting with the statement of contrary.
Well, I've been
thinking we're calling with a C2. Okay. And where would you come out again, just so that you get the temperature of the board? Want to come back to you?
Okay, where would I come out on what?
Well, on granting, let's say it's a C2. I know they've made the argument for a C1, but say it's a C2 because Mr. Kersey argued that this looks better. That's the benefit to the community. It looks better if it puts it off from it. Would you be in favor of that or not?
Yes.
You'd be yes. Okay. Sharon, I think you were going to weigh in, and then we'll phone back to you, Dave Roberts.
I am in favor of a C2.
Yes, understood. You're leaning in the direction of yes. Okay. John?
I'm leaning in the direction of no, because I, like you, agree that there's no real positive criteria that's been proven.
Okay. Thank you. Robert, do you want to weigh in one way or the other?
I'm trying to see too, because I think that if we grant him mainly, I think the barn as is going to stay. I don't think our choice is between no barn open space and a lower, you know, a somewhat an improved barn. So I would lean to expanding the
What's being discussed and proposed will satisfy the need for support I see to
burn. Okay, thanks. Dan?
I'm leaning towards a bit of a note. I see that the barn fits with this particular neighborhood. I do like your question to see what the impact would be from the street view. That would be looking at this point based on the construction of the barn starting from square one, being really taken.
Okay. And Heidi, you're not a voting member, but you want to weigh in?
Thank you. C2 rather than C1, and the question is, can an applicant provide evidence after a hearing, or in?
No, we have to vote on the evidence that's in front of us, and what I will suggest, because I'm keeping a little tally here, looks like there's two that are leaning yes, five leaning no. Dave is keeping his options open here. And if it looks like there's not enough, then we might suggest to Mr. Percy that he goes back and collects evidence to make a better case. If he really thinks it looks better from the street, we might suggest he goes and takes some pictures and show us what it looks like from the street.
Okay.
On evidence that's not here.
I'll do that.
Okay. Did you want to weigh in one way or the other based on what's in front of us today?
Thank you. I'd like to lean in favor, but as one of our fellow board members said, not very hard.
Okay, so my tally is here that five people voted leaning in the direction of not granting it. There was one pretty strong yes, a couple of yes, but not with great conviction, and Dave Supper. It's kind of leaning towards maybe there's a case for 2-1, but not completely kidding there.
So if that goes out, I don't think I have a case at all for C2.
Okay.
I mean, C2 requires a specific enumerated purpose of the act, and besides the support of the benefits and detriments, so I'm not, I don't really see a particular amount of service.
Okay, we'll come back to that, because we've actually used that in a number of other cases, but, so Mr. Percy, if it seems right now there's not enough support here, you haven't made a good enough case to convince enough board members that you should be given a 3-foot setback, so you have two choices. One is, we can table this discussion, you can go and try to build a better case and come back a better day, another day, with pictures to try to make your case. I don't know if you're going to be able to convince enough people. Your other option is to ask for a vote right now, but it doesn't look very promising based on what people have said so far. So, falls in your court to make a decision of what you want to do. On the seating, we haven't even gotten to the hard question yet. Which is the, the units in the bathroom and all that. So what would you like to do as far as the setback?
I'd like to provide some additional photos to try to help location.
Okay, and let me just kind of ask, for those board members that voted no, if Mr. Hershey would come back in a month or 2 months and have photos from the street, of course, we would take a look at those. Is there anyone who thinks that might sway their opinion? And if it's too early to say, this is not the right time to commit to a position one way or another without having the evidence. And how many thoughts do you want to share on that? And if not, that's fine.
I think that this case might be a little too complicated for the homeowner to present on his own. And I think maybe if he was working with a land use attorney and an engineer, they might be able to present a better case for why they could describe what he wants to do as rebuilding the barn as opposed to tearing it down and building a new one. You know, there could be a case for it might not be as convenient to rebuild. So, like you see with historical structures all the time, that you can bring it up to code, it's just not as simple as, you know, calling a pole barn company and saying, what should we do here?
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Can I provide photos using Photoshop to show what it would look like with the barn hooked up?
Absolutely.
Okay. I can show you, and I know this is not relevant for my learning, but can I show this? That it would be almost impossible to talk about.
You're welcome to bring any evidence you like to the hearing.
Okay.
That's what Dave Roberts was saying, that it's a good idea to show how the driveway would work with respect to maneuvering into the garage and parking and so forth.
Okay.
So you can see the aerial pictures. One of the things that I was thinking that would be a possibility was if you moved the new barn, rather than building it on the footprint of the old one, move it closer to the center of your lot so that you would then have some space next to the barn where maybe you could park a car or two. I don't know exactly where your septic is, whether you would have a problem with encroaching on that. But if you could move it to the center of the property, it might possibly be, you might be able to move it up to that 7 feet distance or something. If you're not just describing it as being in the exact same spot. Talking to an engineer and a land use attorney, there might be some more wiggle room.
Yeah, right now the barn is, if you're looking at the barn, facing the barn, the right side, right now it's currently 12 feet away from the property line. So, I do have 2 feet of wiggle room to bring that barn 2 feet over. Which could help, like you're saying. Because I think we know it's 10 feet is the code, and when I do have 2 feet, I can move it over. It's not that enough.
Okay.
But I know what you're saying. I understand what you're saying.
So we're gonna not make a call on the sea grant tonight. We're gonna hold this and continue this hearing for another day.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
And a couple things. We need to get to the more complicated question, which is the use variant. I think Mr. Roberts made a good suggestion. You may want to consider getting in someone that's a professional in land use to make the argument as to whether or not the use would be justified. In particular, the question here is whether or not when you put a fireplace and a bathroom in a new barn, it becomes a dwelling unit. If it's a dwelling unit, then you need a D1 variance. It's a new use for a property. It's a fairly complicated question, one that we can't delve into in 5 minutes here, but you need to make all of the arguments as to whether or not this is or is not a dwelling unit, and the board would have to make a determination, kind of vote on that, and if the board determines that with a heating system and a bathroom and enough
room to sleep in if you're dwelling in it. And if the board finds that way, then you need to debate the pros and cons of a use variance. If the board finds it's not a dwelling unit, then you have to debate the pros and cons of a true variance. So these are not simple questions. I mean, you're going to free to argue your case whichever way you want, but those would be the kinds of questions that will come up.
I don't need a fireplace. I don't have to have a fireplace. I don't have one in my old house, in my home, because it was closed up to use it for the flue, for the two furnaces. So we were both to make it. I don't have one. So I would just sort of like to have had one because I never had one before. That's all. I don't have that one.
That's the application you presented to us in the next system to go about. So we have to sort of debate that when we reconvene.
No problem. And then the bathroom, I submitted a handicap test to you. I'm deeply handicapped. I don't walk well, and I never did it all my life. I was deep slip, and I don't walk well. It is very hard to walk well. I need that bathroom, and I'm not looking for a shower. Nobody's ever going to live there. But I need it because when I cut grass, and I do gardening, and I work on my lawnmower, or whatever I do, I don't want to get disgusting, but I have to find a place to be, and it's not easy to do it outside. So I need it. I do. I need it. And it's the small ones, it's a quarter and a six. That's it. I give you my handicap stuff, and I throw it to you on the handicap. So that's all I want it for, nothing else.
I was in the bathroom, without even go to the zoning officer, and if he's not, go to the zoning officer. If someone wants to put a bathroom in a garage in a special building, the critical thing was they want to put a kitchen in with a stove. If they put a kitchen in with a stove, then it becomes a dwelling unit.
I'll sign papers, or I'll sign anything. I'll even tell you that I'll sign and say that if I ever die or sell, it has to be removed. It's not growing work. And you can feel free to come anytime you want to see. It's never going to be a growing work.
Okay. We're not going to decide this connection. My suggestion is that when bring up these issues. Once everyone is inclined to dig into the genius variance, that would be my suggestion. We put this off till we come back and decide whether or not it's going to be a new building or not.
Okay.
Does anyone feel inclined that we ought to start the conversation on the genius variance now?
Well, I think they might want to, whether this might be a discussion we just had over whether it's a dwelling or not. You know, I think any guidance we can give Mr. Percy so that when he does come back, he has something in his mind of what some of our questions are.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's a good point, Dave. Does anyone else have any questions that they know they'll have? Can we get to the detail? Okay, so,
could you explain to our applicant about the G2 aspect very briefly, if it comes up to that?
Yeah, that can come there on normal.
Just so that our applicant understands.
Mr. Kirsten, you have come down to his memo, correct?
I got it.
Did you understand it?
Most of it.
Any questions or how you look at something in particular you thought you ought to know?
Well, I didn't understand the basic completely.
We can take that offline for you then.
Okay,
as long as you have that, another thing. Yeah, I would say, Mr. Kirsten, look closer, because I thought Tom's memo laid out pretty well some of the questions that have to be answered. So, if you say you understood it pretty well, I would try and come back understanding it very well, because I felt like you laid out the answer pretty well.
How do you prove that nobody's going to live there? I mean, there's no shower. If I didn't even live in a shower, I don't understand. I have so much that you can come to my body, so much to store. There's no way. There's no way anybody could live in there. No.
I'm just looking at our ordinance. We have a definition for a dwelling unit. It's a building or part thereof used as a residence and providing complete living facilities for a family. So, I don't know that Dr. Cola and Sink provides complete living facilities.
What else is in there that makes you think that somebody's going to live there?
Maybe a shower or a stove.
Yeah, there's no kitchen. There's no stove. There's no electricity. There's no kitchen sink. There's nothing. It's just a bathroom. There you go. Look at anybody with an hour.
So we want to continue this hearing and give Mr. Kirsten, Mr. Kirsten, how much time do you need to, you know, collect your thoughts and gather new evidence? You want to come back in a month? Can we go on to the next meeting and open the time slot?
January 26th?
That's correct. It'll be January 26th, which is the board's annual reorganization meeting as well.
I'm okay with you.
Can you set a time on that agenda? We don't have the other case.
I won't know that until tomorrow. I don't know that we have the other case.
Okay. So should we continue this at least until February meeting? Should we continue without me going notice?
I may be able
to do
that. I may be away in February. I don't know if I'm going to be home.
So we don't know if we can accommodate you in January just yet.
Okay.
That depends on the situation without notice, though.
So can we continue it to March without notice and then decide, do you think you can tell Mr. Kirsten tomorrow whether he's going to January or not?
We can do that later. Yeah, this one is nice. If there's anybody on the public that wants to ask questions on it, I don't believe there is, but if there's anyone on this meeting that wants to just ask, I don't think it's going to go on, but just because they're carrying this one over there.
There's no one from the public on tonight.
Okay, just making sure things are ready to work. I don't know who is my first picture.
January. Can you contract the next couple of days, let you know whether that time slot works or not, and if not, determine when the next time slot for you is. Is that okay?
That's okay, really. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Anyone else have anything more in this case?
The only thing that I would say is that Tom Bat is right, I think, with his report was pretty well written, and that Mr. Kersey and anybody that he may retain to represent him could follow that. There's a lot of information on it, so I think there's a good guideline.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you
very much, Mr. Kersey.
Thank you all. Okay, thank you.
Before we adjourn the meeting, just a couple small items. One 21 Wheelers meeting, as Denise mentioned, will be January 25th, and John will be the first one you're not with us for many, many years. So, I'm going to let you come and just be in the public, and you're welcome to participate. Also, our engineering firm, Bob McDonald, Kathy Marcelli, has been our engineer for many years. She's changing her role, taking on more administrative responsibilities, and will no longer be an engineer for the planning board, the board of adjustment, or the council. And it was their recommendation to us that we use Larry Paul Deer, who we know has written many of the reports for us as our engineer. I think the township is going to go that direction. The planning board has indicated that they're inclined to go that direction. I think it would be my recommendation that we go that way as well. The other alternative would be to go find our own engineer in front, which I don't see that there's any compelling reason to do that. You know, we've worked with Larry, but I want to give you the heads up. If anyone has any questions or comments on that point, you've got a couple of weeks to think about that. And Denise, what else do we have coming down the road?
We have a couple of applications. We have the Clinton Agricultural application for a bifurcated application. And we have another requiring the Ferrari bond.
There's
probably some of you both may be tomorrow.
Okay. Well, we may be both tomorrow next year. Okay.
Yeah.
And last thing, I'll be working on the annual report, and we have a lot of pages, so probably won't have a lot of input. One of the things I'm going to put in the report is that maybe the definition of dwelling unit ought to be a little bit more clear. I think about that earlier today. Is it a dwelling unit or should it have specifically the toilet, sink, shower, and stove? And if you're missing any of those, is it not? But RSV or plenty of board to consider that. If anyone else has any issues that they think are being reported, can you call or send me an email? I'll get them in the draft, which we can discuss at the next meeting. Okay, anyone else have anything they want to discuss with a bit of a call?
I just want to know if it's not coming back, if you don't have consulting fees at this time. Good job. Thank you.
Motion to adjourn, please.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Tom.